Please open your hearts to the reading of the good news, God's word, that has been passed to us through the generations. The scripture lesson is taken from the book of Exodus, chapter 32, verses 7 through 14. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go down, because your people, whom you brought up out of Egypt, have become corrupt. They have been quick to turn away from what I commanded them and have made themselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. They have bowed down to it and sacrificed to it and have said, 'These are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt.' I have seen these people," the Lord said to Moses, "and they are a stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone so that my anger may burn against them and that I may destroy them. Then I will make you into a great nation." But Moses sought the favor of the Lord his God. "Lord," he said, "why should your anger burn against your people, whom you brought out of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, 'It was with evil intent that he brought them out, to kill them in the mountains and to wipe them off the face of the earth'? Turn from your fierce anger, relent, and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember your servants Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, to whom you swore by your own self, 'I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and I will give your descendants all this land I promised them, and it will be their inheritance forever.' Then the Lord relented and did not bring on his people the disaster he had threatened."
Now we're going to turn to our gospel lesson this morning that comes from the book of St. Luke, chapter 15, verses 1 through 10. Hear these words. "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around him, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.' Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I found my lost sheep.' I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I found my lost coin.' In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Thanks be to God. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? O Lord, my God, my rock and my redeemer, I praise you once again for the opportunity to stand in this your church, in this your pulpit, to have read your sacred scriptures, and now to share my testimony. Amen. Perhaps one of the most powerful emotions that we can experience as human beings is anger. I meet many people who have what we would call long fuses. It takes a lot to get them riled. And then people who have what we call short fuses. And I bet we can all kind of identify in ourselves which one of those we are. What I'd like to do is I'd like to start thinking about what are some of the things that make us angry? Anyone? Pardon? Pain? No. All right, a slowpoke in front of you. Okay, driving in a car. Other things that would make you angry. Yes. Failed plans. Awesome. Anyone else?
Something that would... People don't do what they tell you.
Okay, when people... These are excellent. When people don't do what they tell you to do. Messy people. Okay. Anyone else? Okay. Now, I want to shift to those things that drive you to the point where you're very angry. What are those things? What are those one or two things that when they happen, it's like you just lose it? You know that this will just set me off. Injustice.
Lack of respect.
Anyone else? Cruelty. Anything? Pain? Yeah.
Lies.
Unfaithfulness.
Calling people names.
You know, it's interesting. I guess we don't really understand the power that anger can have in our lives and in our relationships. I was telling a friend before the worship service this past week, I have a very, very long fuse, but something happened to me at work, and it's all of a sudden I became this other person. And it was amazing that when anger does present itself, what it can do to our souls and our minds and our bodies. And, you know, you feel your heart start to race. You feel your blood start to pump. And I finally, when I got home, it was so different. And Lisa looked at me and says, "Who are you? You're never like this." And it's things that will just, and I realized at that point in time that with my anger issues this week, I just had to step back and surrender this and say, "I'm giving this to God." You see, because God's bigger than these feelings of anger. God's bigger than the emotional impact that it's having on me and the person who's placing this on me. And so today, in our reading from the Old Testament, we see Almighty God dealing with anger. We're told in the Old Testament lesson that Phil read today in the book of Exodus that God called out in anger to Moses about what his people were doing. You've got to remember that this is the story when Moses goes up on the mountain to worship God and receive the Ten Commandments. And the people, those who were chosen to be the followers, they're doing a lot what you're just saying. Not doing what they said to do. Being false. Injustice to each other. Forsaking the name of the Lord their God. And do you remember what, while Moses was up on that mountain, what were the people making? A golden calf. A golden calf so they could worship. And God, we're told, we have this word, God is angry with his people. And he's telling Moses that, he's saying, go down, and we'll look at the scripture here, it says, go down at once, get off the mountain, for your people have been quick to turn aside. They're perverse and corrupt, and I'm going to destroy them. Now, it's interesting to see how Moses responds. Moses says to him, "Lord, why does your wrath burn against your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt with a great and mighty hand?" Moses turns to God on that mountain in his spirit and says, "Lord, remember your people. Remember, these are the sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who you have chosen to bear your word and to love the world." And we're told that as Moses says that, God then has a change of heart. But it's interesting that what happens here is that Moses reminds God of his relationship to those people he wishes to destroy.
And you see, God has a plan over all this. But I believe in showing his anger that God sometimes calls us to accountability, but through that accountability makes us better people. Puts those things maybe in our way that wake us up to who we are and who he has called us to be. The one thing about anger, my friend, is it will sever relationships. I could remember some harrowing times when my son was a freshman in high school and left middle school, goes to the high school, and all of a sudden this nice kid turns out to be the class terror. And I was teaching at the same high school, and I would get this call every seventh period saying, "Mr. Giuliano, can you come up to the Spanish room?" And I would go, and for some reason, Robert just became this terror for the first semester of ninth grade, just the clown of the class. And I'll never forget walking in the room one day, and there he was amongst the desks, crawling on all fours on the floor. I was angry, though. I thought, what is going on with you? Why are you acting like this? And one of the first things I did when I got home and my wife and I talked, I said, "You're never going to guess what your son has done." Have we ever said that? But you understand what we do here is that when we're that angry, what we do is we sever that relationship with the person we're angry at. And so it's kind of the way that what anger does to us. Now, Moses then goes on to remind God, and we're told that God in his mercy and his love changes his mind, and he recalls what he had called this people to be. And so he sends Moses down back off that mountain. Moses goes down there and deals with those people and puts them in order, and then, as we're told, he goes back up once again and receives the law of God. Now, overall, the theme of this is that the purpose of God is to be a saving God. And so should our purpose be when we deal with many emotions that people that we have, that we've been entrusted to in our presence, do things to us, against us, that cause us to become inflamed. God wants us to seek relationship with those very people that we're angry with. And so the purpose of God being the saving God, and many of us understand that, but many of us, despite our anger, vow destruction and never get to that point where we can calm ourselves down to the point where we can understand that maybe there's a bigger plan here. Maybe God has something to love us and teach us with. Anger issues aren't easy to deal with. But in the scripture lesson today, God shows us that his anger lasts but a moment, but that his true nature is of saving people. And that's what brings us to today's parables in the New Testament. We get these two parables that Jesus tells. One of them is the parable of that lost sheep. And we're told that before he does to say the parables, that the tax collectors and the sinners were coming near him, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling, saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." Now, we get the word in some translations of the Bible in that Old Testament lesson, we hear that God grumbled or the people grumbled. We hear that again now in the New Testament, that the people, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, grumbled. In some translations, it's blatantly that they have anger and are shouting at Jesus. And they're saying, "What is wrong with you? You're here in the midst of us teaching about following the law of God, but you're sitting with people who are law breakers. You're here, you know the laws of the Old Testament about what's clean and what's unclean, and you're sitting with these people, and you're not concerned about being contaminated by them." Jesus doesn't have a holy rage, does he? He responds with these parables very calmly, And he says that one of the lost sheep. And he says, you know, if, when a shepherd has 100 sheep and loses one of them, does he not go after that one? And when he gets that one sheep, I love that imagery of the good shepherd. He carries that sheep on his shoulders and brings him back to the fold. And there is rejoicing that one who was lost is now found. And so we're told that God rejoices in the salvation of one person rather than 99 righteous. And then he follows it with the second parable, the parable of the lost coin. The woman who has 10 silver coins and loses one, and what does she do? She sweeps her house, we're told, and she scours her house, and she finds that lost coin. And then she calls all her neighbors and celebrates and says, what was lost is now found. And the scriptures tell us, Jesus says, isn't that the same way it is with God and those who repent of their sin? No holy rages, just rejoicing. Now, as we take these two scriptures together today and we see elements of God's anger and God's love, we see elements of Jesus himself coming onto this earth and loving people and trying to save people. There's one instance in the Bible, in the New Testament, where Jesus becomes very angry. Do you remember what that was? Absolutely. Yeah. And when he's in the temple right before Holy Week, the Last Supper. And Jesus goes, and what are they doing inside the temple? Well, they're gambling and they're exchanging things and they're arguing and bartering. And he goes in and we're told that that was his breaking point. But what happened during that week? Jesus' heart knew that his mission was to save people. And so that may have happened on the beginning of the week, but we know on Friday that he suffered and died for our sins and for our salvation. Isn't it interesting how the Lord handles anger issues? You know, there's a message in all this, these parables in this story, is that God does have his anger. And God wants us to be accountable for our sins. But when we repent, when we turn, when we are found, he rejoices with us. And as we approach this issue, he says to us in our humanness, understand that relationships are what it's all about. And I think all of us here, if we think, scan our life at one point in time, or maybe even now, there may be someone in our life, or maybe in our family's life, that anger has driven away. Maybe we have driven them away, or they have driven us away by our anger. And it never feels good, does it? Sometimes we act out, or we say things, and we think maybe we're going to feel justified, but that never leaves us, because it's always there. And so today we get this message of what will help resolve these anger issues that we have. And number one, we learn from the book of Exodus, it's remembering our relationship with the people that we're angry with. Number two is to know that God calls everyone to repentance. And when we do repent of our sin, he rejoices with us. And number three, that God sent his only Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to this world for our salvation, who died on a cross so that all of us in our humanness and our weakness, would have available to us the kingdom of heaven. You know, I have a parable for you today. This parable was told by the spiritual writer Henry Nouwen. It just fits perfectly. Nouwen tells about a man who used to, every day, go sit and meditate by the river Ganges in India. And Alan says on this one particular day, the man is there, and as he is near the water, he sees a scorpion that's crawling, that's going to get swept away by the water. And so we're told that he reaches out to get the scorpion, and the scorpion stings him. And in the distance, there's another man that's watching all this. We're told that the man then once again reaches out and gets stung. And by the third time, the man's hand is swelling and there's pain. And you can tell by the way he's shaking when he reaches out to the scorpion, and it stings him again. Finally, the man who is watching goes over to him and says, "You fool. You fool. Can't you see what this is doing to you? Why would you risk your life or forsake yourself for something so ugly or a creature so evil?" And we're told that that man looks back and says, "Just as it is in the scorpion's nature to sting, so it is in my nature to save." Our purpose in God's name is to save. Folks, there's things that we need to reevaluate, change our minds about, as we have these scriptures going on today, that when we hurt because of people who maybe have offended us, that we could also turn from our anger and bring it before God and pray that the situation would be His will, that resolution would come, that we then need to put ourselves in a place where we can be back in a relationship with that person. Now, I'm not saying we have to condone or we have to be beat upon. Let that happen. But we need to step back and take a place where we acknowledge our relationship and our connection to that person and what God would have us do in that situation. I weep sometimes. I mourn sometimes about the things in my family situation that have been just obliterated by anger. You know, divorce happens. Relationships become alienated. People choose sides. And it's been so difficult to watch things happen and wanting to reach out. And yet people who are professing to be Christians saying, "I'm done. There's no relationship. I'm wiping that out." And we're told that God is different. And maybe we're not the ones to go and do the reconciliation, but we need to pray about it. We need to be those people that keep that engaged. And keep that engaged. You know, we saw very clearly today in the scriptures that God's anger does not last forever. That He is a God of justice, but He's a God of love and compassion. And so, even when we are dealing with scorpions in our lives, take heart that we have a God who calls us to be a saving people. And remember that God is bigger than any emotion we can experience. God is bigger than any relationship that's fractured that we can't fix. God is bigger than anything we can do that may seem ugly or evil. And I pray today that the Holy Spirit would be upon us as we remember the goodness of God and His nature. And I pray that the next time that anger overcomes us, that we would just take a step back and we'd ask Almighty God, "Lord, what is it that You would have me do in this situation? Because not only I am Your child, they are Your creations also. gives us something to think about. I'm so grateful for all the things you brought up today. So grateful for the things that we talked about that make us angry. Know that God has a plan for that. And it's a plan of reconciliation and of love. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you and thank you for your goodness. We thank you for helping us through sometimes the tough emotions of life. And even to this moment, Lord, we ask you to help us through those relationships that cause us pain or struggle. We know, Lord, that you're bigger than all this. And Lord, especially on this, as we remember the events of 9/11, Lord, we just ask your continued blessing. And we remember that your justice will ultimately prevail. And there are some things, Lord, that we don't need to get in the middle of because you will take care of that. Give us the wisdom to know what those are. Father, I thank you and praise you for your scriptures and enlightening us today. We ask this in your name. Amen.